and this is Weekend Breakfast. My name is Phemelo Modene, and I'm with Pretty Yende, who's my profile interview today. Thanks for making it on a Sunday morning.
What an awesome morning. Good morning.
Well, so there's lots to talk about because I think a lot of people already know your story. We all know about how you came to look at this ad on TV, and the rest is sort of history. Yeah. And, you know, when I read and you hear people like the New York Times say that you are luminous and you hear people like your professor at UCT, Professor, is it Davids? Her first name is
Virginia Davids.
And that's somebody who I know has lectured a lot of greats. I know that has lectured a lot of greats at UCT. And she says she's never come across anybody with your kind of work ethic. I mean, what does that mean to you when a New York Times say that you're luminous?
It just, it's quite humbling, because when you think about how big that statement means, it goes beyond our physical, you know, world. Mm. It goes to, it's almost like heavenly. Yeah. And anyone associated with something so divine and so powerful, it brings such a great encouragement for one. As a young girl who grew up in Petrateev and who was just curious about the sound that she heard on TV. And that powerful sound has led her to places and been given such honor in ways that she never ever thought it would be possible. Mm. So it's humbling, but at the same time encouraging, because it is giving one the encouragement to go forth in pursuit of what she was actually looking for at the beginning, which is the curiosity of the power of the music, the power of the human voice, and sharing her joy with the world as much as she can possibly can.
So one of the things that I find really amazing is that there was a time when, I don't know, there must have been something within you that said you want to do this. You knew that you wanted to do this.
Absolutely.
Right? However, you were not confident that you could do this. No. So you were doubtful a lot about your own abilities, and you questioned yourself a lot. Yes. Could I be great? Yeah. Could I be like the others?
Yes.
And you also say very humbly that your high school teacher said, no, but you couldn't sing, and you say they were right.
Exactly.
You really couldn't sing, right? But Virginia again said that she made you accept the first things first, to accept your own instrument in the sense that it may not have been the best.
Yes.
But she made you believe that it was good enough.
Yes.
And for somebody who was looking at others to model themselves around, how did that then help you go to the next level?
It helped me in a big way, also on a personal level, because it is really one of the things that I think anyone out there would relate to, that accepting who you are is really something that takes time sometimes, because of what society says about what beauty means, what standard means. And so, especially when it comes to something so personal as the human voice, and that was my gift. And when I looked around and see how great others were, and how successful and perfect they sounded to me, she made me to not lose that, because awareness is important. But also she said, you mustn't forget what you've just discovered. What you have is something special. That's your gift. They have had time to grow their own gifts. Mm-hmm. So look at your own box, open it up. And when I tried to do that, actually it took away the pressure of actually maybe also comparing myself with other people. And that is actually helping me a lot in the journey as I'm going through now on an international level, where I know that greatness is everywhere and everybody is that fantastic. And not to take the pressure that comes with that, because it can be competitive, but to be competitive can actually still or limit you to what you can actually be able to do. You know, your full potential lies in what you have, not compared to the next person.
Which is why you say part of the reason you think you did so well, for instance, in your first editions, was that you're not competing
at all. And it's helping me even more so now, because I'm being paired with international stars, people who are singing like first level. As a young singer in such a short time, to have arrived so soon and to be able to be trusted, to be paired, to be casted with those legends, says a lot. And it helps me of how I've learned from when I was in UCT to say, yes, they are great, but you have your own greatness. You know, greatness too.
So I'm imagining that, so, you know, everybody talks about the big stages, you know, Las Scalas and all those big opera houses. People talk about that. But I'm imagining that the most important performance you ever did was when you went back, when Kutlwano said to you, listen, my sister, have you ever performed for your for your own audience back at home in Piet-Retief? And you said yes. And Kutlwano pulling that off, Kutlwano Masota, I'm talking about, pulling that off, who's the conductor, classical conductor, pulling that off. It must have been, for me, the biggest performance for you.
Absolutely. And I mean, we had been talking with Kutlwano because they're good friends of mine.
Yes.
And so we knew each other when Kutlwano was still playing for the orchestra. And so when he always asked me, Pretty, have you ever had a concert at home? I said, no, Kutlwano, not yet. I haven't. I wish I can. And then finally, we just said, let's just do it. Mm. And it was actually a comeback home in so many levels.
Yeah.
Seeing the places where I started singing first and the actual stage where I stood when I was still a little girl, you know, coming back to that same pod, it was almost like a full circle. So I was really, really very happy, and to have my parents there and people who saw me when I was still a girl, it was just really a very touching moment, which I hold very dear to my heart.
I'm sure, because I mean, when I looked at the audience when you were performing there, there must be something to be said about grown men crying in the audience, you know, who just got the sense that they understood what this means to you. They understood the value. They understood how important it is.
Yes.
And my sense is that you also really get it. You get just how important it was, because you then also subsequently have a foundation now.
Absolutely.
And you go to schools.
Yeah.
You put on performances. And I am amazed at the fact that you are able to go to a very little hall, a very humble little hall, and you're able to put up on stage a performance like you would at La Scala, right? And give those communities a kind of dignity. You put on full makeup. You put on the entire orchestra. And you give the dignity that you would give a Milan, a New York, a Paris.
Yeah.
And why is that so important for you? Why do you make sure that there are pianos in schools, that they're recording and so? Why do you do that?
Because I truly believe that this music does not only belong to some. It is a gift to humanity. I mean, if it found me in Piet-Retief Mkhondo, now it's called Mkhondo, and take me to the world-class stage, I mean, to the global stage with the people who grew up with this music at home, what does that tell you? And so there was a need for me to come back and say, oh my goodness, this can happen to anyone, anywhere. And so the dream was to at least have one child in each and every village home to be able to play classical music, to be aware of classical music. So education, you know, in schools. And one day I'll wish to have my own school, you know, so that we can all really truly believe that it's not just only one person. This is it's so vast, and I need to have that part of me connected and anchored in that place, because that's where music found me. And in a way, it grounds me. It makes me to come back to realize that I'm still that little girl from Piet-Retief who loves simple things, not only the glamorous woman who's taking the world by storm.
Yeah.
And that balancing of that persona to who I truly am is important, because the persona cannot be anchored without the fullness of the person herself.
It's lovely listening to you, because one would imagine that when I listen to you, it sounds like it's all a fairy tale. It sounds great. But the truth is, when you got to Milan, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It was tough. There was a language barrier. There was a cultural barrier. You were a little girl and you were entering into this big, big world, different cultural background and so on. And I believe you found solace in a cathedral.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous, gorgeous architecture and so on.
Yeah.
But you don't tell enough of that story about how difficult it is, so that people know that, you know, the journey will have humps.
Absolutely. I think it was very hard for me to understand that also telling the actual hardship of or responsibility or challenge that comes with the dream. It took me some time to talk about it, and I'm happy that now I'm able to talk about it. I touch on it and not so much. But yes, one of the biggest challenges was leaving home. Was actually probably leaving myself. You know, I had to become the dream. I had to leave everything I knew, my language, my food, what I saw, what I smell, you know, all my human senses that I had known when I was born. I had to leave all of that and go and start a new life, in a new town, in a new city. Language is different. The food is different. The sun doesn't shine the same way. You know, I remember days where I felt sick, but I didn't know what it was. And then I realized that it was also
homesickness.
I didn't even know such a thing existed. And of course, there were times of loneliness that I never even experienced what loneliness was. I knew that this was my dream come true, but there was something missing. Why? Because I grew up in family, and South Africa is warm when it comes to that, and Europe can be quite cold when it comes to that.
And gray.
Exactly. So, and I went to Milan in September, October, so it was so gray, you could hardly see the sun. You could hardly see the sun. But
I'm imagining also, you know, you went into this really big new world of music, right? But your roots were gospel. That's what resonated with you.
Yeah.
And if you were living in this country, you would possibly be hearing more of it.
Absolutely.
But you were in a place where you were not hearing your indigenous language,
exactly.
Your music that you grew up with, the thing that started your love for music, you are not even hearing that.
The good thing about it is that we would have Skype calls, long Skype calls with my parents and my family.
Yes.
And so what I would do, just to listen to something that my ear knows, I would leave the Skype on and I would let them talk. And I would imagine that it's Tuesday and we're eating chicken today and we're having pub tomorrow, you know. And they eventually let me be. They wanted to stop that so that I could actually begin to live. You know, because a huge part of me was left there.
Yeah.
And of course, things started to get better. It was my father who had to be strong for me. He said, Priti, this is what you said you would do. You said you would leave the country and go to the world and sing opera. This is where you are. Leave your dream. And he hung up the phone.
Oopsie.
And that's how hard it had to be for me to wake up and start leaving. And then, of course, then I started to try to accept my new life. And then the language got in. I started speaking fluent Italian. The singing always worked. It was just communication.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When did you abandon your dream of being an accountant?
Immediately when I was told that it was humanly possible. Because here I was listening to these ads. I'm sure it was less than 10 seconds.
Yes.
And it was only a part of it, not the entire song. And so when I heard that, something in me somehow knew what it was, but my mind could not make sense of it. And so when I went to the high school teacher the following day, who's still alive, and I'm so happy that we get to live this journey together, he said to me, of course, it's called opera. And I said to him, is it humanly possible?
Yeah.
And he says, of course, yes, it's humanly possible. I said, well, you need to teach me that. I remember the word so well. I didn't say, please teach me that. I said,
I
need to do this. Yeah. So immediately when I was told it was humanly possible, I said, no. If this is humanly possible, I'm going to do all I can to jump into it, because the seed of music was already there. So I knew I could sing. You know, I knew I could sing in the church, and I knew I could sing. I could stand in front of people. But then when he said, join the choir, and he tells me the difficult truth of saying, no, but you're not an opera singer. I said, he might be right. What can I do to familiarize myself with it? What can I do to bring myself closer to this world? And then I listened I looked for everything I could find, radio, classical music, so that I could familiarize myself. I would sing the whole day and I would try to mimic and, you know.
There must have been something within you that just instinctively knew, because it's not as if everybody agreed, you know, at the first go. I mean, Virginia talks of how when you made the phone call to her and said, you want her to coach you. And she says she just heard the squeaky little voice and she kept thinking, there's this girl that insists that I need to teach her. And I don't understand it. I don't think she'll ever become anything. And she talks of how it it of course was not a once off. You didn't hit a note and she said yes.
No.
You were persistent. Yeah. You were there every day. You worked very, very hard.
I was the first in the class in the morning, the last one out.
She speaks of just the amount of dedication that you had to your craft. She says she's never seen anything like it. So to her, she's almost not surprised because the talent, a lot of people have talent, but there is something else that you had to bring to the table, which she says was inevitable when you became what you are, in as much as it's bigger than anybody could imagine. But what you had to bring to the table equaled the greatness because you were so committed to what you were doing that it had to come to something.
Yeah. It was something that probably I have to thank my parents for, because when my father knew that I wanted to pursue music, it was very difficult for them to accept because I was the first one in the family to go to university. Mm-hmm. And so to them to accept that I wanted to try something that seems like a hobby was very hard. But they were so supportive.
And you're the firstborn, right? Expectations are high.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, of course, I can go to the Verds and do accountancy. Yeah. Like now, I passed well. I was one of the top student that year in my school. So it was evident I should just go there. But I remember my father saying, okay, pretty, if you feel it's right, then go for it. We're going to be with you. So they allowed me to fly. They took me to Cape Town. And that having that sense of support and belief made me to go even further, because these two people mean a world to me.
Mm. And then you are on stage with the very greats, you know, big greats. I remember seeing you in concert with Andrea Bocelli, and I kept thinking to myself, No, it's not pretty supporting Andrea. It's the other way around, you know? I mean, can we get there? Can we get to a point where we acknowledge the fact that, my goodness, what you had brought to the, I remember it was packed. It was packed. And I don't think South Africans had ever heard you accompany a big star like that. You know, they knew you were doing great things out there, but I don't think we had ever experienced you in the magnitude that you presented to us in 2010. And I kept thinking, my goodness, it's a fairy tale. This is unreal. This really is unreal. So there's that story where you are on stage with those greats that the world celebrates. And then there are greats who I think that you hold dear to you, like Sibongile Khumalo.
Absolutely.
The performance you did the other day. And there was something about that performance that for me was deep for you. There was a lot of gratitude for you. I think you look up to her in big ways. And I also think that there is a part of you, and we don't talk about this enough, there is a part of you that somehow also feels a sense of, geez, I wish the world would celebrate her the way we should.
Absolutely, because they have worked so hard in times that were not so favorable for them. Mm. And yet they kept on inspiring us, young girls like me who were sitting at home and watching TV and looked at her and say, oh, she looks like me and she sings this kind of music. Mm. That means I too can do it. But not only that, she is such a grounded woman and so strong and so humble and so powerful. I mean, she knows how much I admire her so much. And so having the opportunity to finally be so near to her was something that I had been dreaming of for a very long time, since I started the Pretty Journey hashtag.
Yes, yes.
And so finally we got the chance to sing together. We did the Mozart Requiem together last week at the Gold Reef City Lyric Theatre. And Sidwell Mhlongo was conducting, the Gauteng Choristers, with wonderful orchestra. And so just having those almost like two worlds coming together, you know, and it was really, it touched me so deeply that I felt in a sense that I'm being also encouraged to even go further.
So in your understanding, I mean, why is that? Why is it that we still have somebody who has committed herself in that way? And still, for me, it feels a little bit like there is still room for more. There is still room for us to embrace her more.
Absolutely. I feel like, because as a country, it's something that we are not so, we are trying to understand, to welcome opera and classical music as ours too, not only as Eurocentric. And it's taking time, of course, but those small steps, I believe, are there. you're seeing more people, especially the black child on the stage, on the classical opera stage, in the orchestra playing. And it's also the chorus community that is inspiring a lot of opera music in their competitions. And so Mamusibongile Khumalo is like the beacon, is the icon who was there before and like carrying that torch from all those years. And somehow we are trying to actually, you know, move forward. It will take time, but we mustn't lose hope.
Yeah, I mean, I was encouraged by the fact that tickets were sold out, you know, before the actual performance. I was encouraged by that. I was encouraged by the fact that you didn't need to push very hard. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sitting now from the outside looking in. I don't know how much the marketing team had to work to get those tickets sold, but I got the sense that they were snapped up, right?
Yes.
I'm encouraged by that on the backdrop of knowing just how difficult it is to keep an orchestra going in this country.
Right.
So there's that strange feeling of, so what's the problem? So you know what I mean?
There's no problem. I think in a sense that if we look at it in the negative side, we can never actually move forward. I always feel like that. Even when we look at change, we should also probably try to speak more positive about things. And rather than going back to the negative side, the side that actually is not helping us in a sense, it's actually doing the exact opposite. So I believe that we should try to move forward in terms of us as classical and opera people, the choral community, to work so hard that we probably not have to talk so much about it. We have to do it. And we have to do it so well. We have to be professional about it. We have to strive for excellence. And we have to understand the whole culture of this classical and opera music, the discipline that comes with it, the commitment and the sacrifice, the actual giving of us instead of us waiting to be applauded.
You know. Oh my goodness. So we're with Pretty Yende. And if you have no idea, and I don't know where you've been living, who Pretty Yende is, here's a little bit of something. And I just want to apologize. I want to apologize for cutting the music off earlier. So please, my humble apologies. So let's do it better this time. Tiende is my profile interview. She needs no introduction. She is in studio with me. And we've just been listening to her most amazing recording. And this time around, Pretty, this was a CD that you've recorded. Very big difference to performing on stage. And you took your time with the decision to actually record a CD. And it wasn't in studio. I mean, you went quite big with where you recorded it. Tell us about that.
Well, this is my debut album. The song that the aria that we actually have listened to is the first number on my debut album called Una Voce Poco Fa. And it's written by Rossini. And I'm so grateful that I had such a wonderful time, you know, beginning my journey as a recording artist, because these two artists, very I feel different. That really very different. And I'm thankful that I took the time, you know, to record it, because I had all the experiences, all that I needed, you know, for me to be able to put something on a CD so that she is not so different from the live performing artist. And
so,
we recorded
it. The auditorium decision?
We recorded it in an auditorium because the my army, pretty army, with my record label and everybody else who was involved in the recording, wanted to make sure that my first time is that comfortable. So it doesn't feel like a studio recording, but it feels like actually performing in front of an audience so that I can also feel my voice. And actually, most of our opera recitals or recordings are done on an auditorium or the opera house, so that you can actually feel the sense of the voice to hearing it live.
Okay, fantastic. So let's go to calls on 011-883-0702. I've got Juno here in Joburg. Hi, Juno.
Hello. I just wanted to tell Pretty that she holds a very special place in my heart, because it was the last time that my husband and I went out together when she was here in April last year. And sadly, he passed on in September, but I always remember her with much love, because we so much enjoyed the concert, and she's just special.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Anyway, I wish you all the success in the future.
Thank you very much, and all my love to you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's Juno there in Joburg. And I mean, you must hear those sort of personal accounts where my assumption is every artist wants to reach an audience in a special way, in a personal way, as opposed, you know, they're obviously the headlines and the journalists and so on, but your connection to the audience is actually what really matters.
Absolutely.
And it must be quite a humbling experience when you hear somebody who says, you know, we've got our own personal memories connected to you.
Yeah.
That's huge.
This is very big, because one of the things that I learned from when I was a student in UCT was that I have to understand what kind of an artist I would like to be. Do I want to be an artist that just is singing pretty and looks pretty and her name is Pretty? Or do I want to be a person who really connects, because there's that part of art that goes beyond the black and white notes, mm-hmm. that goes beyond our physical sense, mm-hmm. and it communicates from one soul to the next. And so that exchange of life is much more important, and one that I would like to be. And so that was my quest, you know, to go beyond just the notes and the knowing of the language and the story. And when I started getting messages like this, I was so touched, because one of my biggest wishes was that if there's anything that I'm carrying more than just what I'm singing, would be the joy, love, and peace. And that is something that is soul food, which we all need, and which I believe music as a whole, that's what it does. It nourishes us. And I wish to be that kind of person who does that.
And in fact, I don't know if you know, but many of your peers, and it's different. It's different to fans. It's different to journalists. Peers is different. When your peers review in this manner, it's very different. Many of your peers say what distinguishes you from many other talented people is the fact that you bring your soul to the stage.
Yeah.
So you can sing.
Yeah.
Many people can sing.
Yeah.
But what you bring to the stage is you are able to touch another one's soul.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what, well, I don't think, I know that a lot of your peers are saying that's what distinguishes you from many other really talented people, which is, for me, quite an incredible compliment coming from peers.
Absolutely.
So we continue taking those calls on 011-886... 883-0702. Vera in Sandton, hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Vera.
I'm somewhat overwhelmed at the fact that I'm actually speaking to Pretty.
Yes.
I'm such a fan of hers, and I sent an SMS to say I was heartbroken to miss the Requiem, and please, can you come back and do it again?
We'll try, Vera. We'll try. We'll do our best. Pretty?
Absolutely. There's always a second chance, and there's always another opportunity. And you would know that I really have a big, big dream of having to perform at home as often as I can, and to bring what I usually give to the global audience. And because home is home where there's the heart is. So we will make arrangements.
All right. And then let's go to Mzukisi. Hi, Mzukisi.
Hi, Pimelo. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, Mzukisi.
Thank you, man. It's so awesome that I could speak to Pretty. I'm one of the opera and the followers of her. you know, the first time I saw her CD singing in Central Park with Andrea Bocelli, I was like, wow, you know, is this really a South African, you know? And the way she performed on stage, I mean, her soprano was like awesome to listen. But I want to say to Sis Pretty, you know, all the best to her. I'm also like, I can't believe that I missed a concert, you know. So we hope that she can perform more. And the only way sometimes I follow her is to listen to YouTube and follow her music. But I think she must come back home and do more concerts. We are looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you so much. Absolutely. We're working on it. And I hold South Africa very dear to my heart. And I appreciate all your good your wishes. And the bond is always there and shall always be.
So, I mean, I saw the other day that you won another award.
Another award.
It's becoming ridiculous. I mean, do they still mean the same thing for you?
Absolutely, because every time you get a thumbs up, you get encouraged. Okay. And for me, this is something that is truly a blessing in so many ways, because when you work so hard, you know, pursuing your own dream, and you get acknowledged for it, you get to inspire people for it. I mean, who can ever dream so much? And so for me, each and every time I get a thumbs up, I'm getting a go ahead instead of saying patting myself in the back. You know, it is humbling. It is also just being aware that someone is watching. And it's always encouraging when you know that somebody's watching and is saying, go on, continue going on. You know, the Big Echo Classic Award is a huge award for me. It's like winning a Grammy in the classical world, you know.
Yes.
And so for a first CD to be able to achieve that is something so big, and a big thumbs up to saying, go on in pursuit of being a recording artist.
We've got Lynette in Rosebank. Morning, Lynette.
Oh, Pumela, I just want to say to Pretty, welcome back home. I was a member of the SABC Orchestra, former member, and the JPO, and we went to Egypt and I performed with Sibongile, and I know Kutwana very well. He came to play the concert for me that I organized, and I just want to say, why we didn't hear about your concert? And are you singing more in Johannesburg, or are you going back to Europe?
Well, I'm still based in Europe, and most of my concerts and my engagements are in Europe and in the States and the UK. But now and again, I always try to collaborate with my friends like Kutlwano Masote and Sidwell Hlongo, you know, in South Africa, because I hold South Africa very dear to me. Opportunities of me performing home are not so much as I would like them to be, but I always try to at least have one performance a year in South Africa. The concert was really well advertised, and just that the tickets got sold out very quickly. But we're trying to make sure that the next time we prepare such concerts, we're not only going to do them in Johannesburg, but we're going to go to Durban as well, and as well as Cape Town.
You still get nervous before you go on stage?
I used to get more nervous at the beginning, but I understood that maybe I should treat nervousness as a person. And if it had a body, I would be very careful how I treat it, you know, because I see my head as a sanctuary, and it's my home where positive thoughts give me life. Love, joy, and peace is what gives me life. If something is uncomfortable, fear, or anything, I would be careful who I invite in my space. And so I say to fear, no, fear, you're not invited in this party. This is only a good, willing, you know, kind of a place. So nervousness in a sense that it's responsibility, it's adrenaline, it's the body. But more than nervousness, I say it's excitement, because I always say I'm too excited to be nervous.
Mimi in Benoni, hi.
Good morning. Thank you so much for sharing that wonderful talent with us. And I did see the concert last week. What I'd like to know, is your father alive to enjoy your success?
Yes. I'm so fortunate that both my parents are alive. My father and my mother and my two brothers and a sister, we're all still the Yende family, and we're so grateful that we still have each other and to enjoy this part of our journey as a family, because it's all new for everyone in the family, not just for me. And we're so happy that we're growing together to learn this pretty journey and to enjoy it too as a family.
Thank you so much. That was the most wonderful thing. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you very much.
I wish them all very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Pretty, for me, you know, it was quite an interesting way of looking at your work, having to prepare myself to talk to you, because I kept holding back these extraordinary feelings of emotion more than anything, because I just, you are such a beacon of what is possible in the world. And I say that in the world because it's not just South Africa. I think you represent the human race in a magnificent way. And it just, it speaks to so many things, to what is possible, to one's self-belief, to all kinds of how people can relate on different levels, at humanistically possible different levels. So it's not about you being black or you being white. Language of music, you've brought that gift to us to see, and how that has transcended every possible barrier there could ever be, right? Mm-hmm. So it is quite a beautiful thing for me to see that in somebody like you, who still has such an opportunity to do bigger and better. And I don't know what that bigger and better is. What is your personal dream for yourself beyond this?
Well, beyond this, I mean, the professional life has been such extraordinary, and it has been prospering like in a magnitude that I could never even start to dream. My dream now is to have my own family that I can share with this amazing journey, to have my own family. And I'm looking forward to see that part of my life also being fruitful and growing, and making sure that these two worlds are one, and one, you know, gives life to the other.
It's been such a pleasure having you in studio.
Thank you so much.
Really enjoyed your company. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us with your beautiful voice and your beautiful presence. Thank you, Pretty.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
That was Pretty Ender.